In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon texts are all of our readings. Genesis chapter 3, Isaiah 35, and Revelation 21. Brothers and sisters in Christ, when Adam and Eve decided they'd live by rules of their own devising, it wasn't enough that they blushed and scampered behind a tree to sew fig leaves together for underwear. It wasn't enough that they were interrogated and rebuked by the divine judge himself. It wasn't enough that they heard the gut-wrenching curses pronounced upon them and their future crop raising and childbirthing. It wasn't enough that at that hour they started down the slippery slope that would finally land them 6 feet under. Dust you are, to dust shall you return. More was coming. As a final and necessary action, their landlord kicked them out. And at the front door of their former garden, paradise, was stationed a Secret Service agent, if you will, an angelic kind, a cherubim with a waving sword in his hand, barricading the way to the tree of life. And so it was that they became homeless criminals on the run, our not-so-great grandparents. Not so great. But of course, as the old idiomatic saying goes, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, especially the tree that gives the knowledge of good and evil. Like father, like son, like Adam, like me, like you. And so we are also not so great, having been hightailing it and fleeing from God ever since, climbing up our mountains of pride, clawing through thickets of lies, barreling downward into valleys of depravity, stampeding over anyone who dares to get in our way. We have come a long way, all right. A long way from home. So here we are, no longer creatures of Eden, but now of the desert. Say what you like about a peculiar and mysterious kind of beauty to the desert. The truth is, and most of us will agree, that it doesn't have much going for it. Violence, hatred, warfare, love grown cold, anger, adultery, theft, murder. There's a reason people call such places a God-forsaken wilderness. Fiery sands, killer snakes, and vegetation bristling thorns certainly do give an appearance that even God has forsaken this place, this world of sin and death in which we live. In such a world, we Adams and Eves are born and live, or at least we exist. Irrigate this desert, air condition it, pretty it up till your heart is content, but all is futile. So instead, we practice and refine self-deception. We act like the sand of prosperity or fame is the fertile soil of paradise. We convince ourselves that chewing on the cacti is just as good as the old tree of life once was. In fact, perhaps even tastier, we ration. So we ruminate on our trophies, on our sweet acts of revenge, the forbidden fruits we've enjoyed. But it's all lies. A million grains of dirty, rotten lies. Our hands are weak from scratching and clawing out an existence in this world. Weak from digging our own grave in this desert wasteland. Our knees are feeble from kneeling before the gods of money and pleasure and power. Feeble. Trying to uphold the weight of the law under a tonnage of guilt strapped upon our back. Our hearts are anxious about everything. From what to wear, to where to retire, from finding work, to work that never ends. But that's the way of life in this desert, far, far east of Eden. But there is a preacher out here, a man of the wilderness, Saint John the Baptist, of whom our Isaiah reading this day, Isaiah 35, foretold. Into this desert world, he was sent with a scroll of Isaiah in his hand and upon his lips. And his is a message that will leave this God-forsaken land permanently changed. For the message is that God has not forsaken us. He has not forgotten about us, nor has he abandoned us in and to this world of sin and death. Quite the opposite. John preaches to the desert, Emmanuel, God with us. Even, yes, especially in this world. So the wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like a crocus, Isaiah writes. For John proclaims a change is coming, and indeed has already come. A resurrection change. A change from death to life. For all the way from Eden, the one who ousted Adam and Eve has come. The landlord has come to bring you home to Eden. His advent into this desert world signals a reversal of all that has been. For everywhere he goes, there springs forth life. The eyes of the blind are opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame man leaps like a deer. The tongues of the mute sing for joy. It is for you that this Jesus has come. He has sought you out. He has tracked you down, not to indict you, not to berate you, but to save you. To give his life as a ransom, as a payment for your sins. That you, weak-handed, might be made strong. And your feeble knees made firm. And anxious hearts stilled. Be strong, fear not. I have come to lead you home, to take you back to Eden, says the Lord through the prophet Isaiah. Waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert when Jesus is born into this world. All is reversed. He who turns water into wine, sickness into health, death into life, comes to change you. In a desert world, there is only one place where there is life. You know where that is? Where there is water. And the water that breaks forth upon his arrival are a fountain of life. No mirages here. He takes you into his hands and he carries you to that fountain, to the waters of baptism, and lets you soak up the life that is his own, so that you die with Christ and that you rise into a new life in the resurrection from the waters of holy baptism. This water, where does it come from? Well, it is from him. From his spear-pierced side. A flowing river that streams through the wounds suffered for you. The Israelites quenched their thirst from the rock struck by Moses. And that rock was Jesus Christ. The same rock is a body. Struck by a weapon of war, a spear, yet at its piercing, a gushing forth with the water of peace and life from him who was dead, but now is alive again. And in him, in his water, in his river, you live. A highway in the wilderness also, a way of holiness. It is the way of the church, a path constructed from the raw materials of his flesh and blood. And you, the one marked with the cross of Christ, the one redeemed by Christ the crucified, you travel on it. There is only one way back to Eden, one way back to paradise. There's only one path that leads to life. It is Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The only road back to Eden. The only way by which you can enter once again into God's presence. The Israelites wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, leaving behind corpse after corpse, littering them in the desert sands. But the way of holiness is not a way of death, but life. In this church, in this Christ, on this highway, you have already passed from death to life. You are washed in the waters of baptism. You are clean. You are radiant. You are forgiven all your sins, for you are baptized into the name of Jesus, into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You have streamed into his death and have been washed back out of the grave into the newness of life. So now we journey, citizens of Eden once more, there and not there yet, already tasting of the fruit of the tree of life as we dine on our Lord's body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine for the forgiveness of our sins, yet also waiting for the day spoken of in our final reading from Revelation chapter 21, when we, in our resurrected flesh, will see God face to face in the garden above, as he will wipe away every tear from this world of suffering, sin, and death, wiping every tear from our eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain any more. The former things will have passed away. The new Eden will have come. For Christ will have forever made all things new. And seeing him, we lost long Adams and Eves will forever bask in the goodness of his life and love. We will be welcomed back into what was lost so long ago in the Garden of Eden, the unveiled presence of the living God. This is our hope. This is our story. But more than that, this is God's story, of which you are a part. This is God's story from Genesis to Revelation of his salvation for you in Jesus Christ our Lord. Truly, God in the person of Jesus Christ has joined you in the flesh so that you may join him in your flesh in eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.